When intention falls, so does attention. When attention falls, so does intention. So this is one of the qualities, one of the developments that we really explore. We see it's not difficult for us to have an intention or to have a moment of attention along with it. But to be able to sustain that through a whole range of conditions, moods, mental states, life conditions, to be able to sustain that is far more, it's a very different landscape, isn't it? And it's a place where forgetfulness creeps in so easily. So this is actually what we explore as we develop this path of wakefulness, is how to sustain these two together, intention and attention. And it is one of the reasons why we give so much emphasis to developing some kind of continuum, some quality of continuity in the practice forms that we use. It's why we don't just sit, for example. It's why we cultivate mindfulness in walking, in standing, in lying down. How do we actually begin to really sustain that intentionality and that sense of wakefulness? For most people, this is one of the greatest challenges for us, isn't it? Because this is when the practice really begins to touch our lives and not just be something that happens in a certain posture on a meditation cushion. And, you know, the Buddha really, I think, is so important to acknowledge that the Buddha taught a path of living an awakened life. He certainly didn't just teach formal meditation. That was one piece of this much larger kind of template of awakening. So developing this continuum between these postures, as you know, this really points out in the Satipatthana Sutta, you know, whether sitting, standing, walking, lying down, whether coming or going, whether reaching or placing, to establish this mindfulness, that this is the most noble way of living in this world. It's quite an invitation, and also quite a challenge. But we begin to explore that invitation by seeing what it is like in an environment like this, to develop that continuum, that when we hear the bell, it actually doesn't signal the end of a meditation. It signals a change in posture. Just signals a change in posture. So I'd like to invite you to take half an hour for some walking practice, and I know many of you are familiar with this, but most important is actually to find a path. That a walking meditation is not about a hike or a stroll or a wander. It's as much a discipline as a sitting practice. You know, so it's so helpful to find a path that has two ends, you know. It's not about a beginning and an ending. It has two beginnings. It has two endings. It's simply turning points. But by establishing a path, we actually really do establish a container in which we can begin to investigate these moments of wakefulness, moments of forgetfulness. I think in the walking practice, the way that we most often experience a sense of forgetfulness is through this kind of disembodiment. You know, where our body is looking good, you know, it's going through the motions of walking, looks great, you know. Anybody observing you from the outside would say, you know, what a fantastic walking meditator, you know. And inwardly, we know. Inwardly, we know we are simply not there, you know. So it's really, really recognizing that part of this landscape of developing mindfulness, this present moment recollection, is actually through the unification, the integration of body, mind, and present moment. So really, as we're on the path, it can be really helpful to just to really notice these moments when mind seems to really separate from body, seems to really disconnect. And where has the attention gone? Where has the attention gone? It's often gone into some very familiar territory. You know, meditation actually doesn't deliver us great, you know, total news, revelations about what our minds do, you know. It goes into very familiar territory, you know, rumination, obsession, planning, preoccupation, you know, dwelling upon things, busyness. So really beginning to notice where the attention has gone and how it is to actually not feed that. Yeah, I often like to use this metaphor in practice of feeding and fasting. You know, what we really know in our experience is that what we feed will grow. And if we feed the habits of mind that really don't serve us well, they will grow. So fasting is not about judgment, it's not about condemnation. It's simply that withdrawal of the feeding pattern through coming back actually just to the body of this moment, just again to the sense of integrating, of unifying body mind. Sometimes it's helpful in the walking path just to stop for a moment. You know, when we find ourselves really just traipsing through those fields of habit, you know, just really to stop for a moment. And perhaps again, just to explore, you know, some of those steps that I began the sitting period with. What it is to direct our attention. What it is to settle our attention. What it is to feel the body standing and walking. What it is to appreciate that sense of being present. What it is to really engage in calming all that is agitated through that simple intention around collectedness and wakefulness. Okay, so we're very blessed here. We have some very beautiful space. We have a day, it's not raining. We have some very beautiful space just to establish just a very simple walking path outside and to have that sense of establishing mindfulness, establishing present moment recollection within the container of that walking path.